Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Happy Friday to you wherever you are. We're coming from Pine Grove Studio B here in Happy Valley. Another wet day for us here to end the week, but hopefully we'll lift your spirits with some good news for Penn State football. We're bringing to you the most interesting players coming up this weekend for Penn State football at their junior day. We've been talking about it for three shows now. And now we're going to get to the main names you need to know that'll be here this weekend, or at least the ones that intrigue our Ryan Snyder, our recruiting insider extraordinaire. That's coming up on the BWI Daily Edition. It's been a busy week, Ryan. It's been a lot of stuff going on. We're here, though, on Friday. We've made it to the weekend, which doesn't change your workload whatsoever. You know, there's going to be more stuff coming up at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com with junior days. But how are you doing today?
Yeah, get me to February, man. That's when I get to enjoy some Saturdays of, you know, laying around the house and doing nothing. But yeah, I mean, it's the off season, but it's never the off season college football. Recruiting, of course, is going to be the main focus, I would say, for the next 3 weeks. We have junior days, and we're going to talk about some of the guys that really stand out to me on that list today. But I think before we get there, we have to also mention Chimney Onu, of course, who Sean and I talked a little bit about on Tuesday. But Penn State does have an official visitor on campus this weekend in the four-star offensive tackle prospects. 6'6", 270 is what he's listed at. Of course, we'll get an accurate measurement. We hope to get an accurate measurement once the visit ends this weekend. So let's see how he stacks up and how that visit goes. But Penn State's still trying to add 2023 guys. Of course, they love to add a wide receiver as well. As of us doing this podcast, we don't think there's going to be any transfer portal guys on campus. There's been talk about Malik McClain. There's been talk about a few other guys. Freddie Roberson, I believe.
Yeah. Freddie Roberson.
As of late morning, early afternoon, there was nothing set. But that's what's wild about the portal and why I always joke with Sean, like, hey, buddy, you can have it. Because it just moves so fast. And we kind of saw that this week with Tyrone Broden. You know, 1 hour is one thing, the next hour is another thing, and the next hour is something totally different. So we'll see how that shakes out.
We did three shows this week on the transfer portal. So if you don't think it's a big deal, it's a big deal. Like the amount of things that almost happened, could have happened, might happen. Like it's a daily update, which is why we have the BWI Daily Edition.
It's a big deal and a big pain in my ass, if I have to be honest. It's just hard, too. Man. It's so hard. It's just a whole new game. And you know, you're dealing with college kids who, you know, they don't want to do interviews. I mean, we'll get some, but most of them don't want to talk. They just want to take care of their business. So it's just a hard thing to follow. But anyway, Chimney Onu, we know he's going to be here this weekend. We know there's going to be a bunch of junior day guys. I should mention Chris Jones is here on Friday as we're taping this. Four-star linebacker out of Virginia. He is the, I think it's like a second cousin of Kenny Sanders, some kind of distant relationship there. It may matter. I don't know if it's going to be the end all be all, but important relationship there. It should help Penn State a little bit. I do want to stress that, but we'll see where that takes Penn State in the weeks ahead. And then, as we said, big junior day on Saturday, expecting about 40 guys or so. And should be, I don't know if it's going to lead to commitment, but it certainly will lay the, you know, lay the groundwork for stuff down the road.
So I want to ask you about Chimney Onu. With what do you expect, I guess, from this visit? Is this different than any other official visit? You know, kind of in the same vein as Vega Ioane last year. It's late in the process, but is there anything special or important or anything you would expect to come out of it, I guess?
Well, what I need to learn, and I think what everybody kind of needs to learn, and we hit on this a little bit Tuesday, it's just, how important is NIL? Because just look at the other schools. Michigan State, Ole Miss. very heavy NIL schools, making a lot of big promises. Michigan State has been absolutely splashing the cash, if that makes sense. So when I see two schools like that as the other schools he's going to visit, it certainly grabs my attention because I know, I'm pretty confident in saying Penn State's not going to throw around the money those kind of schools are going to throw around. So I think Sean said on Tuesday, was it the all things considered recruits or something like
yes.
that? I think it was line was.
I like
all
that.
Things considered or in a normal world.
All things being
five,
equal. All things
yes,
being
that's
equal.
It. All things being equal. Good reminder there, T. Frank. All things being equal, this is a player Penn State absolutely should land. He's from Maryland, cares about academics. There's a lot of little things there that point to Penn State. But again, in this whole new world of NIL, and you have schools like Michigan State who, again, are offering substantial more money than what Penn State's collectives are offering, how is that going to play into this? So I'd be surprised. He was committed to Old Dominion. He's taken one other official visit to Rutgers. I'd be surprised if he committed just because it's not like his recruitment, I don't want to say it ever started because it's been going on for a while now, but he's going to get back-to-back-to-back Power 5 official visits, right? Like, right. Most guys want to get those experiences. So that's why I'd be surprised if he just went to Penn State and ended it this weekend. But then again, you know, there's that part of me that's like, well, he does really fit Penn State well. So maybe he'll get up there for the first time, have a great 2 days and end it. So I would lean towards him still going to Michigan State and Ole Miss. I certainly would expect that to happen. But we've seen crazier things. And again, from my limited 2, 3, 4 conversations with him, he does fit Penn State pretty well.
So that's why it's very important to subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. $30 from now until start of next football season for you to get access to premium content. And if that's too rich for your blood, how about free? Subscribe to Blue White Illustrated here on YouTube and hit the notification button so that you don't miss any breaking news. If there is a player that signs, we will have breaking news for you. And that's how that system works. People have been very happy and excited when they see the breaking news graphics here on the YouTube channel. So don't miss out on that stuff. Subscribe. And while you're at it, like the video. Always appreciate that. This is on the rundown, Ryan. But we didn't talk about a pre-show, so I hope this isn't throwing you a curveball. Greg Pickle just wrote an article today about Penn State having an recruiting analyst position open, and with a focus on Pennsylvania. So just can you take us into how that position works, and if Penn State is doubling down on this, or is this kind of this is the description of the job, and it's that's what they're expecting him to do, and it's not changing as much.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a curveball because I don't know you and your damn curveballs, T. Frank. I don't know. I mean, I haven't read all the descriptions of it. I mean, it's a really simple job, right? They want somebody who's going to focus on Pennsylvania primarily. And right. That's not just scholarship guys. It's walk-ons too, because they get a good chunk of their walk-ons from Pennsylvania. So we know when Franklin signed his last contract that there was money in there to continue to expand his staff. And I would expect to see maybe even one or two more analyst roles.
So this is a new position. This is not a position
yes.
that was opened up. Because I didn't think I had noticed anybody that had left that was analysts have left, but not recruiting people that I had seen. So this is a new position.
From what I understand, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I could be totally
this is
off
why
on
we're
that,
talking about it, because I asked the wrong believe. Question to start, but you have the answers for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to read the job description while he throws out. I mean, evaluating top offensive and defensive players from Pennsylvania, the Northeast region, and across the entire country. So, I mean, it's definitely specifying Pennsylvania, which we haven't seen in other, job descriptions in the past.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just adding to the recruiting staff is the main thing I would stress. I mean, there's no – if we get the chance to talk to Andy Frank and Kenny Sanders and I think Alan Zimaitis and others during signing day. We just got to do that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And they have specific titles in their jobs, but this isn't a job that's specific. I mean, every recruiting cycle is different. Every kid's different. You have a lot of different things where you have to think on the fly and whether it's from scheduling visits to evaluating players and everything in between. While the job descriptions may be specific, it's not really like that. I look at it more so as them adding to their staff. Now, I'm sure down the road, maybe we'll get a chance to talk to James, especially after this hire is done. So yeah. I can see maybe if it's done before the February signing day, I doubt it will be. Maybe down the spring we can ask and try and get a little bit of a feel for it. But I think if we were to ask him, he would just kind of point to the Alabamas, the Georgias, and all these other staffs of the world, which – still almost double what Penn State has. Penn State has, I believe, 12-ish, right around a dozen, maybe a little more full-time recruiting staffers, you know, where a school like Georgia, last time I checked, was like pretty much double that. It was like 22 to 24 kind of range. So, and Alabama's the same. I mean, a lot of those SEC schools are like that. Yeah. So you're just trying to get as many guys in there, girls too. I don't want to say specifically guys, but many people as you can in there to do all sorts of different kind of jobs. And the more people you have out there scouting and communicating, and that's the main thing, just communicating. One person can only talk to so many people at one time. So I think that's the main thing there. I mean, there, like you said, there is a focus on Pennsylvania in this description, but I wouldn't be shocked if you get to talk to that person in 3 years from now. They're going to just tell you they do a little bit of everything.
I'm glad I asked you about this, but as always, like the actual answer is way more interesting than the question I asked. So if I guess if you like texting and you know enough about football, sharpen your resume and send it over Penn State, because apparently they're hiring.
Maybe I'll hit them up.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere. Just teasing.
Let's hit Junior. So I gave it out to the people. You know, I've seen those on the Penn State message boards before. And I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, yeah, you should do that. I'm like, I'm happy just watching the film when I watch it. Right. Junior Day list. It's a big list. There's a lot of names and I don't necessarily want to sit here and read them all out. First off, because BlueWhiteIllustrated.com is where you get all those names and you should sign up and go get them. Secondly, like, I want to make sure we have some context, we have some conversations about them. So you did an awesome thing already, and you highlighted five that intrigue you. So we're going to go over those five today here on the show. Do you want to start in the order that you had in the article, or do you want to go through differently? Okay, let's start with the top one on the list. It was Aaron Scott, right?
Right. Yeah, top prospect out of Ohio. Aaron Scott's on pace to be a five-star player. Yeah, right now, On3 has him ranked number 19 in the country. They don't, and most recruiting services do this. I know Rivals did this when we were still there. We don't throw five stars at everybody right away, right? You kind of gradually add to your five stars down the road. And, you know, I think most people who follow recruiting know it's usually you're trying to project first round draft picks. So it's usually around 30 or so five stars each year, give or take a few. So he is on pace to be a five-star player. We have him at 5'11", 165 out of Springfield, Ohio. Springfield is a little bit west of Columbus. I think it's between Dayton and Columbus. So where I'm getting with this is a player that Ohio State should land.
Five-star corner? Yeah, sounds like something they've done in the past.
It is. And I don't want to give people false expectations or anything like that. But Penn State is still striving to beat Ohio State. I know Michigan has emerged as a real power in this conference, but I still feel like if you polled most Penn State fans, you know, the goal is to become Ohio State. The goal is to, you know, really become their main competitor. I know Michigan will always be that rival, but to get even with them, you know, stop losing the majority of those games. And these are the kind of players that you have to, I'm not even land, but you have to have a real serious fight for these kind of guys, and if you want to stack up with Ohio State. So again, do I think Penn State's going to land Aaron Scott? No, right now I don't. But the fact that you're getting him on campus is a win within itself, and this is your opportunity to present that fight to Ohio State to actually get in the ring and you know maybe land a few blows. Again, I don't think they're going to get him. I'll keep stressing that. But this is your opportunity to push
to be taken seriously, right? To be taken seriously by top talent.
Yes. Well, really what this is you got to blow it out of the park with him to try and get him back in the spring for a spring practice. And then most importantly, try and get him in June for an official visit. He's already visited Ohio State 3 times. He's visited Notre Dame once, and I believe that's it. So it's not like he's going all over the country, down south, all these different places. He's been picky with his visits. So this is Penn State's opportunity. So let's see where it goes. I mean, Terry Smith has been on him for a long time. I've spoken with Aaron, I think, only a couple times now, but he has spoken highly of Terry. Terry's done a good job with his family as well. There has been a relationship there for a good while now. I know Aaron was supposed to attend, I believe it was the Whiteout. Is he the Whiteout or the Ohio State game? One of those two. Wasn't able to make it. So, you know, again, this is their opportunity to make an impact here and try and get him back on campus, as I said, in the spring and again for an official visit. So not going to be an easy one, but Aaron Scott is the top-ranked player on campus this weekend. As I said, number 19 in the country, on pace to be a five-star. Whoever that top-ranked guy is on campus, he's going to make these lists of the most intriguing guys, because these are the guys you need if you want to take that next step.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of the things that I'm not saying, that I'm not trying to draw a direct line between the two, but you talk about little wins here and there, having a great relationship, Terry Smith building that relationship, and then you win the Rose Bowl. It looked pretty. It was fun for Penn State fans. I can't imagine that hurt. And, you know, having a guy that is one of the top players in the country come to your junior day, you know, raising the level of athlete and player that is interested in your program, which, by the way, is not low for Penn State. Like, they have are in on a lot of top players, but, you know, percentage of in, I think, is the point here.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A guy that we both like a lot, I think. At least I like him quite a bit. Next on the list, Anthony Specka. Tell us about Specka.
Oh, for sure. Specka's... I'm mad at Charles. I need to get Charles up this guy's rating. We have him as a three-star on three, and there's not too many guys I totally disagree with, but I disagree with this one. I mean, to me, I'm not saying Specka's a five-star guy or anything like that, but you know, in my eyes, he should be in that top 300 or at least hold a four-star rating somewhere in that ballpark. So we'll see as things progress. Charles still has to update, do more evaluating for 2024. They're trying to finish off 2023 with the All-Star games, just finishing and all that. But long story short, let's get into why he's intriguing to me. And it's pretty simple. 6 months ago, Penn State was not the team to beat with Anthony Specka. He's been to Penn State six times. I mean, that's a lot. I can't think of too many players who have, one, just visited Penn State six times already, but two, visited that many times, and Penn State's not like the clear-cut favorite, as we'll talk about with somebody else here in a bit. So I would say back in the summer, it was becoming pretty clear that Michigan was the team to beat there. He comes back the week before, I think it was like a Friday, a couple days before the Lash Bash. He was originally supposed to go to the Lash Bash in July. Penn State switches it and makes it a personal day. And it was one of the best decisions they made, because it was just one-on-one with Specka the entire day. Since then, he's really raved about Dan Connor. He always spoke highly of Dan Connor from a meeting he had. I think it was a game last year, just a quick 20-minute talk before a game. And now Dan Connor's become a very strong focal point in this recruitment. Not on top of that, you know, Manny Diaz now has gotten more and more involved. He's gotten more comfortable with Manny. So right now, I look at this as pretty much a 50-50 recruitment with Michigan. And that wasn't what I was saying a while back. We know he's going to go to Pitt next weekend. You can't rule out Pitt. I believe his dad, they grew up Pitt fans. But then he's going to go to Michigan on the 28th of January. And I fully expect this to be a Penn State-Michigan battle down the stretch. Will that end in the spring? Kind of tough to stay still. Will it end in the summer? I'd be surprised if it went all the way into July, just because I feel like he's focused on these two schools and you know, like I said, I think he's truly down to two schools. So I can see this ending in the springtime. I don't want to rule out South Carolina, Tennessee. I don't want to rule out Pitt. He's been in Notre Dame a good bit, too. I think Notre Dame's fallen off a bit. And to me, this is going to be a Big Ten East battle between Penn State and Michigan. And, you know, this is just another chance for Penn State to maybe take an edge there, or at the very least stay neck and neck with Michigan.
I appreciate the fact that he plays linebacker. Like, I just like the fact that I'm not watching a defensive end, and I can have some like translatable skills. We have him 6'1.5", 215 in the On3 database. Curious about arm length. That's one thing that sticks out to me on film, and that's just, you know, pure curiosity. And then secondly, he's a damn good football player. Like, from vision, intelligence, coverage ability. I know we're watching highlight film, But the point is, it's stacked where he's showing you individual skills of taking on blocks, third and short stops, coverage, interception, chasing down plays, read and react. He does all of it. That's why I like watching him play football so much. It's pleasing. I'd be curious to see where they have him, if they have him as a Mike or as a Will. Next guy on the list is Ethan Callaway.
Yeah.
Very interesting player because of one specific thing, right, Nate? Ryan?
My kids aren't barging in, are they?
Oh, I'll just go home.
It's all right. I love Nate. All right. So Ethan Callaway, 6'7", 300. What's that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? We have an offensive tackle, a true offensive tackle. And that's the one thing Penn State's missing from this class. Now, of course, Callaway is a 2024 prospect. Of course, they are going for Jim Nyonu, of course, who is on campus, who would be a tackle as well. But the point there is Penn State needs to find some true offensive tackles. And this is what Callaway is. What stands out about Callaway to me is that he took his first visit November 26th for that Michigan State game and actually didn't hold an offer coming into that visit. That's when he earned the offer from Penn State. So, of course, that was, I don't know, what was that, 7 weeks ago, I believe, something like that. He's been to almost a dozen schools now. I believe he has around a dozen or so offers. Callaway could go anywhere this week, next week, wherever. And he chose to come back to Penn State. So whenever I'm seeing guys who come to a game, right? And of course, the game experience is good. You get to see all the passion of the fan base. You get to see him up close, Beaver Stadium, all that. But whenever I see a guy come to a game and then immediately, or not immediately, but his next visit, whether it's a month, 2 months, whenever, is to come back to that school to actually learn about the school, to actually see the Lash Building, to learn about the academics, meet the coaches more, everything that goes with that, stands up, alarm bells, we'll say. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that grabs my attention.
Perfect. I knew what you were
saying.
That
grabs my attention.
Yeah,
I wish I could point to more examples down the road, but we've seen this many times of, hey, you know, that game made a big impression on him. He's got the offer now. He's talking to Trout a lot. There's a good relationship going. And boom, you have the opportunity to go to all these different schools. He's got VaTech. He's got Florida. He's got LSU, NC State, a couple others. And you're choosing to come back to Penn State for your next visit. So that stands out to me a lot. He does have a Tennessee visit for January 28th. Of course, I think the Vols are going to be a player here as well, and we'll see where things go. But again, just coming back for a second visit there after seeing a game and now everything he's going to learn certainly stands out to me, and this is a guy that they really need. And, Bo, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this. Callaway is, like, on pace to be a top 10 offensive tackle, guys. He's eighth in the country right now, number 128 nationally, and eighth at the offensive tackle position. So we're not talking about, you know, a kind of a project player. I mean, this is one of the best offensive tackles in the country.
Yeah, I just want to put this up here again because there's a couple things on film I see right away that I really like, and athleticism is good. I don't know that he has the best feet I've ever seen, but he's very good. Looking at him, I might peg him as a right tackle, but like NFL right tackle. College, maybe he can play left tackle. The strength is obvious. The size is obvious. But some of the things he does already that I've seen Phil Troutwine teaching his players is kind of loading his hands. He's not coming with his hands out. He's getting ready, and he's been taught proper base techniques, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So when you're saying like not a project player, he's got some advanced little stuff here as well. Like look at where his hands are, his placement is in his pass protection, and like some of these nuanced things that are not, they're the basics of the position, but they're not basic like, it's easy to pick up, or it's something that you can overlook because you're 6'7" or whatever he is. You've got to be good at these things and shortening that learning curve as well. So I like what I see there overall. I'll be interested to see if that goes somewhere where we learn more about him. We focus on him.
He's a true 6'7", 300 too. I just want to throw that in there. We got that from his last visit to Penn State. I mean, that those are actual measurements. So yeah.
And that's interesting too. Like we talk about Phil Troutwine and what he looks for in an at, like he likes these huge guys, and I don't necessarily mean like just big framed, but guys that play big too. Some that, you know, for me, if I'm looking at them, maybe I don't know that they have the lateral athleticism I like, but they're really good offensive linemen and they're huge. That's when you see these preferences, to me that's one thing that keeps cropping up.
Nyjer Daniels is going to be here this weekend as well. 6'7", 350 from Bergen Catholic. Yeah, Nyjer might have to slim down a little bit down the road. I actually don't even know that. I haven't seen him in a year, so I don't want to say that. I last saw him for camp, so it's been 6, 7, 8 months now. So I don't know what he looks like at the moment. But another really, really massive offensive tackle prospect. So they're going to have a few quality offensive linemen on campus this weekend. But Callaway, I do want to mention Blake Frazier too, from Texas coming up. Of course, mm-hmm. Frazier is a Michigan legacy prospect. A lot of people think that's going to hurt schools like Penn State and whatnot. He is, and Frazier, by the way, he's 6'6", 250. So he needs to probably add some weight. But that, yeah. But that's what schools want, though. They want those.
That's more. They want exactly. That. That's more yeah. of what you see normally, but then you see some of these guys that Phil Troutwine is in. There was a couple, the kid from Georgia that didn't end up at Penn State that we saw that they were interested in late. I forget what his name was, but again, another huge dude that was already over 300 pounds.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Now I can't think of his name, too.
I know. Next. I do this all the time. The point is, we're going to go into a name that every Penn State fan should know. And if you've watched the show, you know Jalen Harvey. You've seen his highlight film in like the last 4 recruiting shows. So I didn't put it up today. But tell us, Jalen Harvey, he's intriguing to you because...
I'm still trying to look up the offensive tackle's name. I was trying to get it real quick before we moved on. Bo Hewley. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Jalen Harvey. Well, I mean, do we really have to talk about Jalen Harvey? I mean, I think you guys know just this one by now, right? This is a player that we are absolutely expecting to end up at Penn State. This will be his 5th visit now. He's been to Penn State 4 times previously, coming up for his 5th visit. And, Sean and I already have picks in for Jalen. You know, all signs have been pointing to Penn State for a long time now. Not only has he been here, not only will this be his 5th visit, but just look, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, Duke, they all got him on campus once, and those were all a long time ago. Like, he hasn't even really been trying to go see other schools. It's all about Penn State. You have that relationship with Chop Robinson, of course, who also played at Quince Orchard. So there's just a lot of things here that just are pointing to Penn State. When will that end, though, is the big question. He told Chad Simmons earlier this week, he's looking at his birthday as a chance to narrow his list to a top 5. I think it was March 11th is what he said. I can't see Penn State letting this one get to official visits. They know that they're in a good spot. They haven't had to crank up the pressure on them. There's no reason to crank up the pressure on guys while they're in season, their junior years. Once this 2023 cycle is totally done, it's pretty much done, but not completely done, and they can really focus everything on 2024, absolutely expect the staff to start really pushing for a commitment. So do I see it happening this weekend? Probably not. Although I'd be lying if I said maybe I won't prep a story just to be safe there. I mean, he wouldn't make sense as far as a guy to jump on board. I mean, I can't think of too many more that make sense more than Jalen. But just the way he's gone about his recruitment, the way he just what he just explained to Chad the other day, I still see this probably going into March. April is where I really think Penn State can say, all right, man, you know, we don't want you getting to official visits. We need some momentum. Who knows what the class will be then? But usually March, April is when they really crank it up and they get a surge of commitments. And I could certainly see him being one of those guys. But all signs point to Penn State here, another 4-star player. When that decision will come is just kind of where it's TBD still.
The most fun player on our list because he catches the football, Keelan Adams. Round us out with Keelan Adams, who, like I just said, he's got some really fun film to watch.
So Keelan Adams is a great player, a great kid. Penn State has struggled with Tidewater kids for a while. Of course, they have Keandre Lambert-Smith. But, I mean, I can't think of too many other Virginia Beach guys on the roster at the moment. Maybe I don't think I'm missing any. Well, Katron Allen, actually, excuse me. He's from that area, but he went and played at IMG. So I do want to mention Katron there. But anyway, the point with Keelan Adams is this is a player that I think Penn State should be top 5 for. Whether they're going to land him or not, kind of still hard for me to say. I would still point to some other schools as having a good shot with him. But the one thing I will note is, I really thought North Carolina was going to be a player with Keelan Adams. Of course, Dre Bly, their cornerback coach, is from that region. He's like pretty close with the coaches at Green Run. I thought that was going to give the Tar Heels a foot in the door. And then, boom, I saw 2 days ago that Mack Brown has gotten rid of Dre Bly. Now, North Carolina secondary, as I'm sure we'll talk about more with Storm Duck, not very good this year. T-Frank, you know that. We've talked about that quite a few times now. So
yeah.
I think that's, I mean, that's definitely why they got rid of Dre. But Dre was a great recruiter. So I'll be very curious to see where Dre Bly ends up. But to get back to Keelan Adams, this will be his third visit to Penn State. He came for the Lash Bash in July, came for the Ohio State game. And similar to Callaway, he did take one visit to Pitt the weekend after coming to that Ohio State game. So it was the first weekend in November, I want to say. But he had the opportunity to go pretty much anywhere this weekend. There's a lot of schools that want to get Keelan Adams on campus, and he chose to come to Penn State first. So be curious to see just kind of what he gets out of this weekend, where Penn State stands after this trip. There's a few others, as I said, who are in the mix with Keelan Adams. I think he has two more visits scheduled. I'm trying to look it up here as I continue to talk. It is Miami next weekend, January 20, 21st, and then Virginia Tech the January 28th. So we'll keep an eye. Miami is as aggressive as any school in the country right now, so I'll be curious.
You've mentioned Tennessee and Miami in the show, so I think we get like a bingo, an NIL bingo now.
And Ole Miss and Michigan State for Jim Yodu, of course, in the beginning. So there's a lot of schools that are splashing around cash, and those four are part of it. But again, just this is a player I think Penn State should be top five with. Yeah. He, in my eyes, is one of their top five receivers for the class of 2024.
I like him a lot,
Yeah, let's just see where this goes in the weeks ahead.
So he's been to Penn State, so 6'2", is that a verified height? You know, we can get to him there? Okay,
yes.
That's a big thing, because you mentioned Keandre Lambert-Smith, and the way he runs reminds me of Keandre, where he's got this, I mean, you watch the way, if you're watching here on YouTube, the way he runs, he's got that sprinter's forward lean, but he's got great change of direction, 6'2", big frame, and really good stride, good speed. I mean, there's a reason that he's the 120th player in the nation. I think he's going to go up from there, too, as well. I really like what I see on film. Just, again, I've seen a minute of film from Keelan Adams, and I can see why he is one of Penn State's top targets at receiver, because he brings it all to the table. Sometimes we're talking about these players, and we're talking about, especially in the transfer portal, okay, can they fit this role in the offense? Can they do this well enough that they'll win more times than they don't, and that can help the offense function? You want players like Keelan Adams that you can line up at Z, you can line up at X. He might even be able to play in the slot. Like, you want guys that can do all of it, that have the potential to be complete athletes at the position, and Penn State needs to get one of these guys that's 6'2 and runs like a deer. So the next one apparently is Keelan Adams. Really interesting.
So I just looked it up, T-Frank. I do apologize. He's a little closer to 6'1". He's like pretty much 6'1.5". So he's a little bit under 6'2". Okay. I do need to update that. And thank you. Actually, now I realize I do need to update his profile. But hey, at least I got you the right facts, though. He's closer to 6'1.5". But go ahead.
Well, either way, like, you're over 6'1", you have a big, a big frame and a guy that can, you know, if he grows another half inch, we're talking, you're in the ballpark. You have that threshold of size.
Sure.
So that's the list. Is there anybody off the list, anybody off the list looking in that you're interested in?
Yeah, so actually his teammate, Tayshawn Young, I don't know if it's Steph, his teammate, Keelan Adams' teammate from Green Run, go pull up his film. Dude, it's like 18 minutes long, and it's a lot of, like, impressive plays. So I think Tayshawn's going to be a guy. He's a three-star right now by On3. I could see him being a guy we're talking about more down the road. I remember when Keelan came for the Ohio State visit, and the days after that, I was talking to Penn State people about Keelan. And, of course, they spoke very highly of him. They love him, all this stuff. Two of the three people I spoke with just made sure to mention, hey, keep an eye on his teammate as well, Tayshawn. We think he's probably one of the more underrated guys. He's a 5'11", 160-ish, so, and I don't think we have verified numbers on him, so he's probably more like 5'9", for all I know. But as of now, he will be up this weekend, so we'll get some accurate measurements then. Before we end this, too, I do want to mention the Buford guys coming up from Georgia, class of 2025, Justin Baker, Montrez Walker, both really two really good-looking, up-and-coming prospects. Montrez Walker is interesting because not only did he have a really good year playing with, like, five-star players. I mean, he had, like, 100-plus tackles as a sophomore playing with, like, multiple five-stars in his team. I mean, Buford is just one of the most absolutely stacked teams in the country. But one thing he was telling me this week is that like Penn State is maybe the school standing out to him the most at the moment. And of course he has to visit, but just from a relationship perspective, how aggressive they've been, everything that they've done to try and build a relationship there. So want to mention him, want to mention his teammate as well. As I said, Justin Baker, don't know as much about Justin, need to learn more about him. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. We mentioned Blake Frazier. Samaj Jones will be up from St. Joseph's Prep. Good looking quarterback. Sean and I have hit on a couple times. A little smaller, but he's absolutely a gamer. Anybody that watched that St. Thomas Aquinas game saw what Samaj Jones is all about. So we're going to see about a little over, I think it's about 15, 16 or so scholarship guys, which is an excellent list. And that's just 2024 guys. And then there's still going to be some late ads too. I when we get done with this, I got to make a couple calls. And I do expect probably a couple ads between now and tomorrow morning.
All right, we'll go to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com to get that information. Ryan, thank you so much for everything, handling all my curveballs. You hit so many in-the-park home runs, and it's just insane today.
Some of them I do. Sometimes it's a three-strike whiff. But
I'm so curious because you've got so much good information. I just want to make sure I get it out of you for all of our listeners and viewers.
Appreciate it.
That'll do it for the week. Except that I'm lying because coming up tomorrow, it's the Hoops Show. So if you want to check out the Hoops Show before their next game on Tuesday, that's coming out tomorrow night at, I think, 8 p.m. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at 8, and we'll talk to you then.